Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. This week, we're catching up with Crystal Nielsen. As a quick refresher, everybody, Crystal was on Ari's season of The Bachelor and then Bachelor in Paradise 5. We're also talking life after the show with her, rebuilding after a breakup, finding love with her partner, Miles, and, of course, life with their beautiful one-year-old baby, Andara. But before that, you know how we do. We got to get to our hot takes. Mike, I'm going to kick it to you to start us off.
Definitely. So before you start, I love the name Andara.
That is a pretty name.
Andara. So definitely shout out to Crystal and Miles for that one. But with the hot takes, Brian, got a hot take for you. You are the married one, right? Can a relationship survive after a rejected proposal?
A rejected proposal?
A rejected. That person said no.
Okay. Nah, again, you know me, brother. I need a little context. Is this?
Oh, they just said
after
no.
3 months? Is this after 3 months of dating?
This is after a long time of dating. They've been dating for a few years.
Okay, so they've been serious.
Yeah, they're serious. Let's say 3 years, 7 months they've been dating.
And is this the man proposing to the woman, or vice versa, or it could be either one?
I mean, does that part matter? It could be either or, right?
It could be either or. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I would say that's a problem. I mean, if you've been dating for a significant amount of time and you're basically asking this person to continue that and spend basically the rest of your life with them and they say no, like, what's the reason? Like, what are you waiting for? That to me would be a red flag. And I don't know. I just think that would be the end of the relationship right there. Like, I don't see like what's going to change. Like, we've been dating for 5 years.
Yeah.
What's going to change in the next year that's going to make you say, oh, you know what? I'm ready now after a year. Like, I don't get it.
I mean, isn't love supposed to be forever? Marriage supposed to be forever, right?
Yeah. So you're saying, whoa, slow your roll. It's forever. I got to be ready for the decision?
No. I'm saying if I'm proposing and my partner said no, the honest response is my ego is going to take a huge hit. I think anybody's ego is going to take a huge hit, right? So I'm going to have to get over that one completely. Like, it definitely will be devastating for me and whomever that, you know, is the person that the recipients of the no. I do disagree with you though. I think that it's going to take, maybe they say, hey.
Yeah. What's the reasoning? Like, give me a solid reason.
Well, that's why I'm going to say no, because we don't have the reasoning. If
correct,
I propose to my lady and she's like, yo, no, I want to like, heart-wrenching no. But then during that time period, one of the follow-up questions is going to be like, do you want to be in a relationship with me? And if she says yes, well then what do we need to work on to get to that next level? And I just, so my answer is no, caveat, because I want to dig deeper and
well,
find
that's
out
fine
more.
I get that. I wouldn't just be like, no, okay, we're done, bye.
Well, some you people understand? Would be like no though.
Well, yes, that ego part that you mentioned is definitely true. I think whether it's a man or a woman, you know, saying the no, I think the other person would be very, very hurt. But, you know, obviously you came such a long way. Like, I don't think just making a brash decision right there and then that, you know, it's absolutely over, like, get out of my face. I don't think that's going to happen. But, like, yes, the inquisitive aspect of the person has to come out and ask why. Like, I would have a very serious conversation, but if the answers didn't make sense to me,
yeah, there's only a few answers that,
like, if it didn't make sense to me, like, you're waiting for that, or like that doesn't even make sense. Like, it has to make logical sense to me why you would say no after dating for so long. Like, we are in love, right? Like, this is me basically professing my eternal love for you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Why would you say no? I just, like you said, I don't know too many reasons. I mean, maybe I'm just not thinking about it right now, like the exact reasons. But I don't know. It'd be tough to come back from that.
It definitely will be tough. Not going to deny that whatsoever. But I still think that my ego will be tarnished. But I think I'm strong enough to still ask that question. And depending on what they say, I think what I'm saying is, and I'll be succinct with this. You ask that person that question. They say no. The next follow-up, if you're strong enough to be able to have that conversation emotionally, hey, what is it? That is going to either break the relationship off completely or make you guys that much stronger. I personally am a believer that when tough things happen within a relationship, there's only two choices. Either leave it and not be strong enough, or, hey, we're going to work through this shit. And so this is one of those situations.
I'm sure there's relationships where, like in that example, I'm sure that somebody said no and they're now married for 10 years with kids. Like, it was just a blip on the radar, right? But to some people, that's everything. And it's like, that's it. There is no relationship after you say no to such a monumental question. I guess my thing is, for you, wouldn't you kind of dig around first and before you ask your woman to marry you?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of get a sense that, okay, she's going to say yes.
Yes. Maybe that's just you or not, because I'm definitely going to be like, dropping hints. I need to know that this is a bona fide yes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, how do you feel about marriage? Like, you know, do you see us together? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, you could tell she's gonna say yes.
But then also, with that being said, sometimes people just tell you what you want to hear.
Just kidding, Mike.
Like, damn, baby, I've been trying to tell you. I done got your ring size and everything. Now you gonna tell me no?
On second thought. All right, so that's that on that one. All right, so here's one for you, Mike.
Okay, what we got?
Are you a red flag?
What do you mean?
This was actually a tweet. A woman posted this, that you are a red flag if you are a single man over 30, especially with no kids.
Damn,
are you a red flag?
Out?
Is that, you fit that description to a T.
I feel hella called out. Hella called.
Are you a red flag, Mike?
Side note, talking about over 30, right? I had my afro out the other day and I was with my mom. She teared up a bit because I got gray hair. I got a couple gray hairs in the front. She's like, my baby got the gray hairs. That was really cool. But
you're becoming the other veteran as well. You a veteran, but now you're becoming a real veteran.
The other veteran, right? I'm coming to what do you call it? A silver fox.
Yes, but, absolutely. Distinguished gentleman, you are.
There we go. Am I a red flag because I'm a male that is over 30? Or did it say gender or no?
Well, in reference to this question specifically, it was a woman tweeting this. She was saying that a single man over 30.
Okay, so she didn't say gender. Okay. Yeah. First off, like, why is it got to be gender based? But second off, hell no, I'm not a red flag. If anything, I'm a green flag. I done made it through my 20s, financially secure, no STIs, no kids. What you mean? Credit score over 800? You tripping. I'm going to talk my talk. I got it going on. So therefore, no, that's not a red flag. Anybody that's made it over 30 is not a red flag that doesn't have children. What it does mean to me, though, is I'm going to assume, and then I'm going to ask, like, hey, is this something that you want? You know what I mean? And then in my case, as you know, and everyone in Bachelor Nation knows, I would have had a child. I just had a miscarriage.
True.
So, I mean, there's so many things. That person that said you're a red flag, I'm like, all right, thank you for letting me know you're a red flag. Bye.
Listen, Mike, you are not a red flag. Not only are you not a red flag, but you're a diamond in the rough, okay?
I appreciate it.
You know, you're in your 30s, no children. You're a highly successful, eligible bachelor. Like, how is that a red flag for a woman? You know what I'm saying? Like, you are actually in your prime. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, we have until 37. I still got a couple more years of prime.
You still have a couple more years. What I'm saying is you are mature. You have experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess I'm trying to see where she was coming from when she said that you were a red flag. It's like, I guess maybe, are you just a playboy and you're just, you know, sleeping around and like you're already 30 or in your 30s and you still haven't settled down? Like, maybe you haven't found the right one. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe
that's fair, but that's fair for her to say.
Serious relationships, right? Like, I guess without knowing the history, like, I don't know if you would be able to just say that blanket statement. Now to everybody.
That's definitely fair for her to say. Like, if she said, hey, you're a good looking guy, you can get women, blah, 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 blah. Are you just a hoe? And are you just like sleeping around? That's fair for her to say, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But for her to say you're a complete red flag off top, off rip, nah. I think that someone like in my position, I'm I'm picky. It's like, why is being picky and selective so bad? When we pick out a house, we always want to get a custom. If you're able to afford a custom house, you want a custom house more than likely, which i.e., guess what that means? You're really selective. Why are we more selective about our homes than we are about our partner?
Facts. Like, let's turn the question around. Do you feel that a woman over 30 with no kids is a red flag?
No,
I really absolutely don't. Not. Absolutely not. I mean, women are more and more getting married later in life. They're focusing on their careers. You know, they're working on themselves. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that. Shit, I was 30 damn seven on the show. So if they're calling you a red flag, that means I was even brighter red. But
brighter.
Yeah, I don't even know where I was going there. But yeah, I mean, 37, Rachel was in her 30s.
Yeah,
and I think it just, like we always say, like we would not have meshed or probably have gone for each other if we were in our 20s. Like, it didn't make sense. We weren't ready for each other at that time. Fast forward a couple more years into our 30s, now all of a sudden we're at the right place in our life, career-wise, mentally, emotionally, and we came together, and it's beautiful. So
There's so many reasons I disagree with this as well. I mean, I take my military background, right? I was literally traveling the world for my country. Like, I'm not going to get in a relationship, get married, knock somebody up within 18 months of being at that base, right? If I wanted to go to school and become a doctor like yourself, I'm focusing on my doctoral, baby. Like, this is my focus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many things that makes a person not have a child and or marriage before the age of 30. I mean, let's be honest. I was going to marry the woman I was with.
Mm.
She was going to get the ring, you know what I'm saying, the whole nine. I was going to get down the knee, you know, the whole thing. It didn't work out that way. You know, they say, tell God your plans, you make them laugh.
Yeah.
Facts. You make them laugh.
And look, everything happens for a reason. She just wasn't the one for you, and you're on to bigger and better things in the future. She's not around just yet, but you're going to find her, and you don't have to be stressed about being a red flag in your
30s. I ain't no red flag. Shit.
That's BS, in my opinion.
Definitely so. But I want to bring our guest in, Crystal, because I want to hear her take when it comes to the marriage one. You know, she's been married before. She's a relationship type woman. I want to hear her take. So let's bring in Crystal. Let's talk it out.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Crystal, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's so nice to meet you. I think this is our first time meeting ever.
Yes. Yes. We've never met in person for sure. So pleasure to have you on. And let's just jump right into it. Mike and I like to do a little segment called Hot Takes prior to bringing on our guest. And we want to get your opinion on the subject because it's important, right? So here's what we got for you. Let's say hypothetically, a woman and man have been dating for, let's say, 5 years. And either one can propose. But can a relationship survive a rejected proposal? So one of the people that gets asked to get married says no. Can it survive after that?
Yeah, I'm going to go with probably not, Brian. That's going to be tough because I think that if you're 5 years into a relationship, that's really committed, right? And I think the natural next step would be if you're on the same page. I mean, after 5 years, I think you'd have that conversation of, are we moving forward? Exactly. Or do we want to have that commitment? Like, there should be open dialogue happening. And if someone's not on a page, like, you should know that.
Yeah. That's what we said. Yeah. You should throw hints. Like, hey,
yeah,
I'm either looking for this or, hey, hey, what size ring are you? You know, you should throw hints out.
Totally.
I feel that it's
can
work.
Or like, what kind
though.
Of ring do you want?
What kind of ring do you want? I feel like it can work. It's just all about, you need to have some very tough conversations and throw your ego to the side.
Well, you know, that. Why do you think it can work? That's what.
Why do I think it can?
Yeah.
Because I believe in magic, of course. No, seriously, I feel like it can work because one, I know for a fact it's worked in the past for some people. Mm-hmm. And then two, when really tough things occur in a relationship as they always do, whether it's 6 months in or 26 years in, that's when you can really test the relationship. And that's where you have those really, really, truly effective communication where you got to throw your ego to the side at times. And you got to say, what's going on? What's the deal? You know, and be raw. And I think that when people can have those raw conversations, it's only two ways to go. We're going to work through this together or not.
I guess my main question, Crystal, like, if I don't know if you'd agree or not, but my first question would be like, why not? Like, why don't you want to get married after 5 years? We've been together. I love you. You love me, supposedly. And
see, I want to say why not.
What's the deal? Not why not like that. You know what I'm saying?
Why not? Am I good enough? My breath stinks. What's up?
Exactly. Yeah, not like that. You put it more eloquently, but you talk about it.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, both of you make really good points. I really like what Mike said, just that there's other extenuating circumstances that could be going on. Like maybe there's a particular rough patch that they're in and they're like, I'm going to say no, because right now the timing is not right. Like, I don't feel good in this moment. Have I thought about it? Sure. Am I considering it in the future? Sure. But right now there's just some instability that I need to work through. So, you know, I can see it both sides. And every relationship, I think, as we all know, because we're all into relationships, everyone's different. And I think there's no rule that works for everyone. Like, we all just gotta, like, we're all so unique in our experiences and what we bring to each relationship and bring to the table. So I think it's just really honoring, like, each person individually. And as Mike said, it's like, are we gonna work through this together, or are we gonna, like, love each other and part our ways? And
I
think that's a great point. I mean, what if one of the partners cheated earlier in the relationship, and maybe now they're not ready? They still got some things to work out.
Hey,
so
real.
Yes, mm-hmm. I didn't consider certain extenuating circumstances like that. But yes, I think it can happen. I think you can get through it. Initially, that initial blow to the ego would be tough for some people. Yes. And some people may say, you know what, that's it. You know, I've been totally good to you. There's no issues that have been going on in a relationship. And you just said, no, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
So, Coach Crystal, really quick, this wasn't a part of our hot takes, but it just came to my mind and I got to ask. You're a coach. I know you're a coach within the fitness and the health and that space, but today you're going to be the coach when it comes to love, right? So, guy proposes to you. His ring is a bit, let's just say, subpar. And it's not that he's subpar because he doesn't have the funds. He has the funds. Like, you know what he's doing. You know he's making like 200, let's say a year, 200K. And he give you this $900 ring.
Cubic zirconium.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't actually have an issue with the CZs and the moissanites. Okay. I really don't, because personally, like, I had a ring that was very nicely given to me from ABC. Wasn't paid for. It was free. Does that, like, count? Like, I think that's, like, something to consider too. Like, my ex didn't pay for that ring.
That's a good point.
And I feel that, like, the value of a piece of jewelry on my finger shouldn't dictate how loved I am by someone.
Correct.
And personally, I think that, like, there's so much pressure. And, like, yes, would I turn down, like, a $50,000 ring? No, I wouldn't. But, like, if we were in a place where that financially, like, was okay to kind of make that expense, I mean, sure, like, why not? Like, when we're there. But if we're in a different season of our life where, like, that's just really silly to spend that kind of money, where we can really take that resource and build it into our future, into our home, into our businesses, into our family, like,
that's a smart woman right here, Mike. It's a smart woman. She's thinking with her head, thinking about the future, investing. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely. And I think that there actually is so much hype around marketing, where I feel like as a guy, I'm so curious to know your guys' perspective, but, like, I feel like as a guy, there's so much pressure to, like, spend so much money and, like, almost have this, like, speaking of ego, like, this, like, pride on the price tag of what you spent. Like, do you feel that pressure?
Brian, you're married. Oh, you are married, but your ring was also given by
I also got a free ring.
I'm like, can anyone?
Not to say, but yeah, there's a price to be paid for everything.
I think there is, like, I think guys out there do have pressure when it comes to anything, when it comes to dating women, right? whether, you know, the fancy restaurants, the rings, like mm-hmm. you want to give the person that you're dating or that you're infatuated with or in love with the best of the best. I think that's just a natural thing. But obviously, at the end of the day, you got to do whatever is within your means.
Okay. So what I say to that, and a great question, by the way, Crystal, I love that question. For me, it's always about how you start the relationship. So if I'm starting the relationship off, I don't care what either person is worth. I'm starting a relationship off giving you helicopter rides to $1,200 dinners. I'm assuming my girl's going to expect
something, that moving forward.
Expect definitely. Something like that. Size and magnitude, right? And so to mm-hmm. me, that's within me. I did that. I created that, right? And mm-hmm. the same for my girl as well. Like, you can't be buying me a Lamborghini for my birthday or just on April 2nd because it's April 2nd. And then now my head is like, all right, this is what you do on a regular day? Cool.
Oh my God. Can I ask you guys though? Because I will say I didn't always have this perspective. Now that I'm like a mom, my perspective has completely changed. Like, I definitely love, you know, kind of that materialism and the relationships, like, sure. Like when I was young, hot and single, but it's definitely different now in the season where I'm in. But I feel like coming off of The Bachelor, where we had the helicopter rides and we had the whimsical experiences and the travel, I feel like that like really kind of shaped a lot of, for like a good couple of years, how I felt dates and things should be, like very kind of over the top and very theatrical. And
it's not real life at all.
I'm loving that you said that, because I've talked about that with some of my boys. Like when it comes to dating, I personally love to do that type of dates with on the show without being on the show. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to hear
future shows.
I've always wanted to hear more about that. And I like that you said that right there. How did that shift? Was it having your baby girl?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think, you know, what happened was, you know, there was a divorce that happened. There was COVID that happened. Then, you know, I found out I was going to be a mom. And so there was just so much going on in the last 2 years, like all at one time. Mm-hmm. And it really was just kind of like finding myself and my values. And going through COVID, I went through a really hard time financially where I really just like shut down really in my business. I like stepped away from all my business. And there was a point where I was down to my last month of being able to like pay my bills. And I still had my staff running and I wasn't taking a paycheck. And I was 2 months pregnant and there was so much stress and pressure. And I really had to like step back and reevaluate and rebuild better. And I realized like, wow, how much pressure I felt to like perform high and do things so over the top just to like almost like brag about it, right? Mm-hmm. Or to like show I was living it up. Like these were my mm-hmm. dreams and like mm-hmm. I'm in this like elevated life, but really it was like very frugalist and it wasn't for the right reasons. And so as I was rebuilding my life and rebuilding my family and, you know, coming out of this pandemic, or we're all still kind of in it, but it was just finding what was important to me and where I wanted to put my time, my money and my energy into, and really like design a life that I was for me on my standards.
Was there anybody that you leaned on during that time to kind of get you through that rough patch?
Definitely. My partner Miles has been just my anchor. He is calm, but brilliant and just strong. And I always know he's always there for me. And I think being able to lean into love in that way and have that just foundation is, I mean, when you feel safe, you can really kind of bloom, right?
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I love that you mm-hmm. said design my life. And specifically that word stuck out to me, because I always try to impute that within people that we truly are the artist of our own life.
Absolutely.
If it's okay, because you know, the funny thing, it's like when you come on these shows, people almost, one, feel like they know us, and then two, feel like we are some, not all people, feel like we're on some type of different platform when really mm-hmm. not, right? Mm-hmm. But you are human. You know, you just spoke about, all three of us are human, obviously, but you just spoke about some really tough things. And I want to, mm-hmm. if I can, go back to that. What were like your emotions going through a breakup, going through a divorce so publicly?
It was really scary. I felt, because, you know, the first time I was on The Bachelor, I had, you know, the typecasted as the villain and the worst villain, as reality TV or reality Steve said, because I wasn't mean, like I was just made fun of. And you know, that's just such a whole process. And so I felt so much shame around that. I felt so just rejected, unloved, and like unseen for who I really was. And it was so frustrating to be like, this is who I am. Like that's just this curated version, but not me. And so going into Paradise, I was so excited to just have a second chance. And, you know, looking back, there's like so much to like unpack there from Bachelor, but it was in hindsight, such a tough season of my life, but so beautiful because it just became this huge mirror in which I could really see where I was not being authentic. I wasn't being my true self. I was really hiding who I was because I thought that people knowing all these hardships about me, that they wouldn't love me because of it. And going through that process, I realized really on my 2-on-1 date with Kendall, where it was like, and that's when I got sent home in Paris. And it was like, my imperfections are what make me beautiful. Facts. Like people can love me because of my hardship and for sharing that and opening up. And so I was able to really see the beauty in becoming vulnerable and like breaking down my shell. And so Paradise, I was like, I don't care if I go home on day one, I'm going to be me. I'm going to show up. I'm going to have fun. And like what happens happens. And like, that's my advice for anyone going on this season is like, just be yourself, just have fun and like throw out the rule book and like, just do you, Bill. And that really transformed my whole life and really cracked me open to being like, we think people can't see the real us, but it's so, we're so transparent. It's so obvious that there's like cracks under the foundation or we're like really hiding. Mm-hmm. And we just got to like own it. And who's going to love you is going to love you. And who's not is not, is going to not.
That is true. Who will love you will be there for you. Who won't. And it's funny, like the people that follow us normally are the ones that are like, go harder for us, even when we may do something wrong. And the people that never liked us to begin with are going to go harder as well. I'm like, yo,
you'll hate even more
this person. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it came to being in the public eye with the divorce, how was that aspect for you?
Yeah, that was really tough because I felt that going on Paradise, you know, getting matched up with someone and having, there was so much love and attention and celebration around our relationship. And I was like, wow, being in a relationship means I'm loved, but by myself, I was a villain. Gotcha. And so, you know, deciding to separate and divorce, I was really afraid that outside of that relationship, I would be the villain again. I wouldn't be loved. I wouldn't be accepted and I would be a failure. And so for a long time, like we kind of battled on if we were going to split or how long we were going to, you know, when we were going to be ready. Cause it was very scary for both of us, I would say. And, you know, it was really hard. And then it was on Valentine's Day, 2020. And then, you know, just a couple weeks later, the pandemic happened and everything shut down. So that was really tough. And I think I became really, really, I didn't know what to say because I wanted to be respectful of my ex and at the same time kind of honor both of our grieving of what was, and kind of inviting the public in because they were so invested in our relationship was really challenging to navigate. I really didn't know how because I needed privacy, but yet still felt this duty to share that with all of the fans at the show. So it was really tricky. And I think I just felt like I really pulled back for a while because I wasn't really sure what to say.
What advice would you give other people out there that have gone through a divorce, whether it's in the public eye or not, based on your experience?
Oh my gosh. Well, I just want to say like, you want to be really clear that that's the right decision that you want to make. And to be gentle with yourself and be gentle with the other person, and you can part ways on good terms. It doesn't have to be angry. And if you can come from a place of love and speaking your truth while still honoring yourself and the other person, there can be a really nice way where you can kind of go on different paths, but still be respectful of the other person.
Definitely so. Would you say that y'all broke up and parted ways on good terms?
I would say, yeah. I mean, there's just nothing but love and respect for each other.
Great. I appreciate that. I don't, personally speaking, I'm not in a relationship. I didn't get in one on the show. I don't know if I would be able to bring that emotion to the public eye. people mm-hmm. just going to have to see us not posting together no more. So kudos to you for that. And I love that you say, you know, just be patient, give yourself grace. That's truly important mm-hmm. when it comes to that. What did you learn in that? Because, I mean, you were talking about Valentine's Day, then literally, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later than max, we go into COVID.
Yeah.
You know, were you with anyone around that time, or were you by yourself in Europe? Take us to that.
By myself with my dogs in my little apartment in Little Italy, San Diego. And yeah, I mean, it was tough to be alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting because there was just so much to process with that relationship, but then also with everything going on in the world, there was so much fear. And like even going to the grocery store, and like there was no groceries, there was no toilet paper, you know, and it's just like, what's gonna happen? Like they don't even want me going outside. I got dogs, I got, you know, couldn't even go to the beach, couldn't even like go to the park. It was all shut down. It was so surreal. So I think all of that combined was just, it was very heavy. I think it was a very heavy time for the whole world.
Yeah, definitely so.
And once your separation was final, like, take us back. Like, what was your headspace when it came to dating? Like, how soon were you, I guess, emotionally available to take that next step and start dating again?
You know, I will say that, you know, Miles and I met at the end of May, and Chris and I split the first week of January. So, you know, it was like, 5 months? And I actually wasn't planning on dating at all. I was just taking some time for myself and to process and really just like do me and like find myself. And, you know, when you're not looking for love, that's when it comes and bites you in the butt.
That's true.
And there was just, you know what? And I think sometimes there's rules. I'm like, no, I need to wait this long to find someone. But it's like, man, sometimes there's just such a magic and connection. And like, why should I like hold myself back from experiencing something incredible that my heart is like yearning for just because of like rules or what other people are going to say about me? Like, this is where my heart is guiding me, and I'm going to follow it. And I'm so glad I did, because now I have this beautiful family. I have this beautiful baby girl. And I am living my dream life, and I got here in an unconventional way, but in hindsight, it was perfect because it's my story and it doesn't need to line up to anyone else's standards. It's my life. And I think that's, you know, where everyone needs to take that into consideration. It's your life. Like, you design it the way you want.
Yes.
And you don't need to give and validate other people and explain yourself.
Well, I want to pause and say congratulations.
Yes. You know,
Life is beautiful for you. So first, before anything else, you know, I feel you're radiating energy, you know, so definitely congratulations to you, to Miles, to Andara, who I definitely want to know more about as well. I do want to ask, in that time frame, you know, you said this is your life, right? Which I love that you said that you designed your life. I'm never going to forget that. It's all on our gems today now. How do you go through dealing with that breakup? But more, the real question is, how do you say, because there were people that were hating on you, there were people that were loving you, right? To the haters, and for that young lady or young man listening to you right now, how do you help them get over the haters saying, hey, this is going, you're in something new right now? What was that like?
You know what's so wild is that I don't see those messages. Like, I don't. And I think a lot of that was like reframing. I have, for an example, I have a lot of mommies. I was like with a mommy friend, and she was like, oh my God, like so much like mom guilt. And I was like, what did someone say? And she's like, oh, they said another girl's night, have fun. And I was like, that's a compliment. How are you taking that as like something negative? And I'm like, I would be like, thanks. I am making time for myself. So I think I definitely choose to see a more empowered state. But like, even with that, I really didn't get a lot of negativity. I did the first time, you know, like, you know, long time ago when I like first, you know, was with Bachelor. Which was like 5 years ago, which is crazy to say that. But yeah, I'd say that don't listen. People are going to have voices. People don't know your life. you know, and if they people don't. Are taking the time when people, here's what I learned. It's called people are mirrors in which we see ourselves. And my coach, Carrie Smith, says, what is true in you is true in me. And what that means is I recognize the things that I like in other people are qualities that I like of myself or I want more of. That's why we're drawn to people. People we don't like have qualities that we are rejecting in ourselves, our like shadow sides, right? So we find that people with those polarities and those dynamics, like the love or like the push, it's just a reflection in which we're seeing ourselves through other people. So I would just say when I would go back and message people who would write mean comments, and my advice to people is I go back and I just say like, I actually respond to them and I thank them for the feedback. And I can only imagine really how, and I don't say this, but I can only imagine how they talk to themselves. Hmm. If they're talking to other people that way, I can only imagine
strangers
the thoughts they're thinking in their own mind. Yeah. And I feel bad.
So you
it's
back
hard to
empathy.
Go through life that way. Yeah. Like it's just, they're unaware of why they're projecting that out. And sometimes you just gotta love people and not take it personally.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. So I want to get into your love story. How did you meet Miles, and what was it about Miles that allowed you to open up your heart again after, you know, what you went through with the divorce?
Well, we got set up by my high performance coach, in pandemic, I got really, really sick. I was almost hospitalized and I'd kind of gone through that a few times. And so I was just like during COVID and extreme chronic fatigue where I would pass out. A couple of times I even had seizures. I had to go to the emergency room and just like extreme, extreme fatigue. And all that really kind of started when I came out off of Bachelor is when, so I've been like kind of working through recently, like releasing a lot of stored kind of trauma and stress in my body, which has been wild. And anytime I get like go through a really stressful event, it kind of re-triggers this. And there's an issue with, you know, the parasympathetic nervous system kind of switching on and off. But anyways, she was like, started coming over and bringing me soup and talking with me and was like, when you're ready to date, I need to weigh in on this person. As your high performance coach, I need to check this person off. And I was like, I'm not dating. I just want to like write my book. I want to journal. I'm not in the dating space. And long story short, she's like, I know the perfect person for you. But I was really like, no, it's a no. It's a hard no for me. And then after just kind of weeks of, you know, you got to meet Miles. Like Miles is like this. Miles is like that. I was like, okay, you're just not going to stop talking. Like I just have to go meet him just to like shut you up because, and so I did. And we met and it was, I will tell you, like I walked upstairs into the office he was in and I looked at him like across the room and I could feel as I was approaching the top of the stairs, like the whole energy in the room had just like shifted and it got like quiet and I could just feel like goosebumps on my back. Mm-hmm. And I knew my life was about to change. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I didn't know if it was all the pressure and the buildup of like meeting someone. But I knew my life was going to change. And, you know, it was just that. I mean, we were talking about starting a family, you know, on our third date. And we're both like, why are we even saying this?
Wow.
Like, we're not ready for kids. And he's like, I'm 25. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this. I've never like talked and been like that girl. Like, okay, if we're going to date, like I'm serious, like looking for a serious relationship because I want to have kids like in the next like 18 months. And with him, I was like that girl. And, but from a place of empowered that I know what I want, not that I'm running out of time, you know, like my biological clock is ticking. It wasn't that. It was, I know what's on my life plan. And,
yes.
And yeah.
Had
so
you seen
that
a picture
was kind
of him
that...
before?
What's that?
Had you seen a picture of him before meeting him?
No.
Just curious. I mean, that's a very strong connection that you just described right there. I mean, would you say that that was like a connection that you had never felt before with anybody else in your past?
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. I had other connections for sure.
Yeah.
But there's in different ways.
Yeah.
I think with Miles, how it felt was just, I don't know, I just feel like stars exploding in the galaxy. I don't know. There's just something so like ethereal about it.
Isn't there a saying like when you find the right person, you realize why it didn't work with anybody else? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah,
like after knowing Miles?
Yeah. And like even more so, I'm so grateful for all the past relationships I had that brought me to make me the woman I am for Miles, because every single one of my past relationships has given me so much wisdom that I can now bring in into this relationship. And it makes me so appreciative of all the past partners I've had.
Definitely so.
Learning lesson, absolutely.
They're part of who we are and part of, you know, making us who we are.
Absolutely. So. I think it's important to like look back and appreciate that. Because I think a lot of times you can end relationships and there can be a lot of bitterness, but that bitterness and that resentment just can destroy you and poison you and just eat you up. And as Tony Robbins says, if you're going to thank him for the, or hate him for the bad, you got to thank him for the good or something like that.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's like, if I'm going to blame him for the good, I've got to, or blame him for the bad, I got to blame him for the good. That, there we go. That was it. It's been a while.
There we go. That was the one right there. I got it now.
That was it.
I know all about that energy exchange and when you're around your person, it just is, you know, it feels so different.
Yeah.
So you mentioned like on y'all's third date, y'all were talking about life together with bringing in family and child. So one, how long were you guys dating before you had got pregnant?
We were together for 3.5 months when we found out we were pregnant, which was like, whoa, exciting, but fucking terrifying at the same time. I'm like, oh my God, this is really happening.
It's like, I know we talked about it on our third date. I didn't expect it to happen this fast.
So like, what was the first thing that went through your mind in that process? Hey, that's new.
Well, I have a YouTube video of my reaction because I filmed it so you can see it.
So you had the pregnancy test ready, you filmed the reaction?
Yeah, so I went and did like some Reiki work to like clear some energy and cut some cords, and like right after the guy left, I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I know it. Like, I just know it. And I go to Target to buy a pregnancy test, and I'm like, all I see is babies everywhere. And I was like, I'm fucking pregnant. This is for sure. Like everywhere. Like Katy Perry's on the magazine cover. I'm pregnant.
And it's like signs like everywhere.
In front of me, light everywhere. And you know, it was wild. It's just such a stream of emotions where, am I ready for this? Like, am I ready for this? Like, am I ready to like change my whole life? And what's so beautiful is like when we can surrender into those moments, like that's when our life changes, right? Sure, if we keep like living the same life, it's predictable. Like we're like in patterns, but like it's in the unknown. It's when we step into the unknown, when we surrender and let go, like that's when like the beauty and that's how magic unfolds for us.
It's growth right there.
Yeah.
Wow. What was Miles' reaction like when he heard the news? Did you get that on camera too? Is that on your YouTube? No.
Speechless, but you know what it was? He went home and he like came back and he wrote out like 20 questions. He's like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's talk about how we're going to raise this baby. Mm. And it was all these hypotheticals. Like, what if I need to work 50 to 60 hours a week when the baby's born? What are we going to do? It was like all these things of like troubleshooting, like, will we do this or that? So we had like a full plan. And he's like, I'm in it. I'm here. Like, I'm here. I'm in it forever with you. And that's always been his answer, because I like am a woman and I get emotional and I like freak out, and then like he just stands as my anchor and I like come back home to him because he's that safety for me, that safe harbor, and always there. That strength is so powerful. And I will say this, like, from, and I told Miles this, and so like we have this in our relationship, but I don't know if you guys do this in this dynamic, but I heard this advice for relationships in fights between like, you know, males and females or any couple, I guess, masculine, feminine energy. But when a woman is upset and freaking out, all she really is wanting is for her man to grab her and hold her close.
Yeah.
And when she does, she will melt in his arms. We don't need anyone to fix it. We don't need any troubleshooting. We don't need to argue. We just want to be held and feel safe in our man's arms.
I have to remember that. I'm going to remember that.
You don't got to say
I'm
going to
remember that. I'll let you know how it works out.
No, Brian, I'm just thinking about, like, if we said that, we would be called misogynistic or something.
If we said what?
Hear
we,
from me.
Just yeah, go no, hugger.
You said it, so I'm listening. I'm just listening
just
to you say
it. Just try it. Just like oh, try it.
No, I definitely
like,
have.
Just,
100% have. 100%. Yeah. I agree with you there. I'm over here smiling, eating my popcorn to your first love story. I'm like, go
well,
ahead,
let me tell
bro.
You this. Like, it thing, was, bro. Yeah, let me tell you this. It was, you know, magical. And, but there's still like, we still go through like hard moments, mm-hmm. hard seasons. We're both like entrepreneurs and, you know, we're like young parents and figuring out this dynamic. And like, there's still like hard things, but it's like, it's always coming back together, right? It's how we started for the sure. podcast. It's for always sure. being like, can we communicate through this? Are we on the same page? Are we walking together? Or are we going apart? And it's like, stay committed together and like hold that picture of that family. And I know what that picture looks like.
What is the date?
I'm sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead.
I have to know this. Like, I'm getting so much positive energy from you. And I feel like that's a part of the answer, but I just have to know. I mean, seriously, within 12 months, half of that, within 6 months, you get a breakup, you go through a divorce, you get a new relationship, COVID happens, you get pregnant. How does a person within 6 months handle all of that emotionally? Like, how?
Yeah. A strong spiritual practice, Mike.
Yeah.
Faith. Unwavering faith in the purpose of my life and what I'm here to do. Having strong people in my corner that love me and believe in me. But most importantly, believing in myself and connecting into a higher power. Absolutely.
Is there like mm-hmm. a 1-2-3-step process you can help or you can speak to our listeners to like, maybe it's, you know, jotting
like daily
down your
practices.
Goals. Like, yeah, what are some yeah. of the daily things that you do? I want to be practical yeah. within this.
Yeah. You know, I would say this, like, if you want to start somewhere, read the book Atomic Habits. I'm reading it right now. It's fabulous. And like a big thing that the author talks about is anytime you want to create a new habit, start with 1 minute, 1 minute of meditation, 1 minute of reading. You know, we master the art of just showing up. You don't need to master the whole habit that you want. Yep. Just master the first step. Just like sit down, roll out the yoga mat if you want to stretch, you know? You don't have to do a whole workout, but like roll it out. Put on your walking shoes. Like master the art of showing up. Mm. And when you get there, commit for 1 minute. Just start with 1 minute. Mm. So go sit down, you know, breathe for 1 minute. Go pull out your journal for 1 minute. I will say the biggest things for me that have transformed my life is meditation and prayer, like a combination of it. I also am certified in EFT, which is emotional freedom technique. It's tapping, you know, on your meridians to really open up and move energy in the body. Also through breath and journaling. Oh my God. Journaling allows me to connect with my higher purpose, with my heart, with what I'm here to bring. It also helps me just channel out frustrations, get my thoughts on paper. I just like mind dump everything that's going on and can feel so much lighter and clearer. And if I were to do anything, I would say journal. Just like breathe and journal for 5 minutes. Just whatever is on your mind, get it out.
So is that an everyday thing? You journal every day?
Every single day, yeah.
You say I should get a brunch? Every single day.
Every single day. So is that like a morning, at night, at the end of your day? You can like recap things or how does that work?
You know what? I do both. I meditate in the morning.
Okay.
Morning and evening meditation and journaling.
Okay,
and nice. I work a lot with oils and crystals and a lot of other kind of healing modalities too. I'm very kind of woo-woo-y.
Crystals.
Right. Brian, you
like
know
a little business right there. Oh, is that already okay. exists?
I see what you're doing.
You see what I did there, Mike?
You know
I see what you're doing. You have me for a second.
Trademark that after the show. I'm telling you. I think you have something there.
All right, let's
fast forward 40 weeks to when you and Miles became parents and to a beautiful mm-hmm. baby girl. Andara, how is she doing? Talk to us about her.
Andara is my angel from heaven who taught me the power of commitment, of loving myself so that I can really love other people fully. She's taught me presence and she's really made me want to show up so much bigger in the world and really just show up with courage. Hmm. She is 14 months old, 14 and a half.
There we go.
Is she almost 14 and a half? She is walking, talking, and, you know, I just want to make her proud. I want her to see me living my dreams because I want to show her what's possible when you have courage within yourself.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I have to ask, I love Andara's name. Where did that come from?
Thank you. I heard it like in several years ago.
Okay.
It was a beautiful stone that I was at this conference put on by Hay House. And I saw that it was with my mom. And we were looking at this jewelry and there was this necklace that said Andara Stone. And I look at my mom and I go, oh my God, I'm going to name my daughter Andara. I know it. And when I was pregnant, that she kept coming to me in my dreams. Like there was four different dreams where she would come to me and just be walking towards me as like a four-year-old, five-year-old. And I knew exactly how she would look. I knew she would have Miles's eyes. I knew she was going to have darker hair. I knew she'd have my face. And so when she was born and she looked exactly like that, like I was not surprised because I had seen her and she was always telling me her name was Andara. And so, you know, when she was born, we waited 3 days to name her because we wanted to meet her. And you know, it was. That's what it was.
So what's her middle name? What's her full name? I want to know.
Her name is Andara Rose Bowles.
Andara Rose.
And Rose is after rose quartz, which is the most powerful healing crystal that exists. And rose oil, which has the highest megahertz of healing energy. It's a very, very powerful stone and oil and flower.
I have a question.
The meaning behind this. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For one, side note, I use rose water on my face and on my hair. It works wonders.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he gets that glow. That's how he gets that glow.
We don't talk about that. I'm just saying, we don't talk. But, Crystal, earlier I asked you about, like, ring size, and you said it really doesn't matter, you know, the financial aspect, XYZ, right? No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever said this publicly before. I personally want to be like different and want to be extremely intentional and have a lot of meaning behind when I buy a ring for my lady.
Of course. Yeah.
Would you be opposed to Miles getting you like a gem?
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
I think it's beautiful and unique. And so, you know what? Like every ring is just an expression of your love and it's a gift, a token of your love to someone. So it should be special and unique to you.
Miles is listening. Miles, what's up, homie? What if he was listening right now, because he is, and you trying to, you know, throw it in his ear that you wanted a particular gem, what would it be and why?
Oh, he knows what I want.
So,
he knows what I want.
There we go. So are we expecting some bells here soon, some wedding bells soon? And if so, I got to be invited to this one.
And what's that? I mean, you had a paradise wedding. Like what's this wedding going to look like?
You know, it's so wild because I'm torn. I'm like, okay, I've done like the big televised wedding, and which was like big, but it was also big because there was a lot of, Mike, were you there?
I was there. It's kind of weird because I was there and we had never met. It was, you know, awkward.
That's right. Yeah, it was. There was literally like hundreds of people that I didn't know that were there.
Yeah.
And we were allowed to bring 30 people, including bridal party. So it was like really small, but like it was like big, but it was weird. I mean, it was just production for a show, right? So I'm kind of torn between doing something kind of like big because did I really have like the big wedding, or do I just want to go and elope? And honestly, I don't really know. And either way, I think I would swing it. I think it'd be a conversation with Miles to say, like, what's important to us? Timing's a big thing. And however it's going to be perfect. And I'm not going to, one thing I will say this, I'm not going to be that bride that's going to stress out about all the little things, the napkins, the utensils. I do
Thank
not
you
care.
For
I
saying
want,
that.
So, I want music. I want a dress. I want good hair, good glam.
So you're going to be
and cake and I'm good.
So hands off, you're getting a wedding planner. Let them deal with it. You'll just give your input here and there.
Definitely.
Okay. She said, definitely. I am
or,
not going
or it might be something just like super, I think it's going to be something really intimate, like really intimate, just our closest people and just really simple. Because I think what's just important is the unity and having Love. Our most important people there. It doesn't need to be a show for anyone else. I don't Correct. Need to like Correct. Pay and spend years paying off a party. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
See, this
Save
is
to put a
saying.
Down payment on a house or something.
Oh my,
yeah, absolutely.
I would so much rather buy a house. Yeah. Yeah, I don't need that.
I don't need all that.
You just get good pictures, and I'm good. You know, I just want the good photographer. I'd invest in that.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is we need a good photographer. We need good photographer. My girl got to have her glam, and then we need a good DJ.
Good DJ, good dress, good food.
There we go. Gotta have a good food. That's a must.
And a vegan cake. Yes.
A vegan cake.
Vegan monk fruit cake.
Vegan monk fruit cake. I don't think I've ever had that. I'm trying to try now.
Sounds good.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Sounds good.
I don't know if I've ever had that either.
I want someone to make one though.
I'm certain it's going to 100% happen. You're manifesting it right now. It will be there.
Thank you. And you know what's so funny is like there has been so much stuff around that because I know like with Bachelor, there's so much like, do you get a ring at the end? Like, are you making the commitment? Are you getting married? There's like so much around that. And in this relationship, we've done it a little backwards, right? Like we had the baby and, you know, we've done it like all backwards, like our own way. And there have been moments where I'm like, where is it? Like, do you really love me? Like, that's like a token of like showing me. And I've had to like really dive into that and remember that like a material object doesn't define someone's love for me, like showing up for me, being there for me, like that's love, being committed, that is love. And I think with society, there's like so much pressure around that to like prove it. And there is something so beautiful around that commitment. I don't want to take that away and something I very much look forward to, but I had to really remember that my self-worth isn't validated by a material object like a ring. And then the price of a ring.
Yeah. I feel like you've done some work on yourself. I've never even had a conversation with you, but just the way that you speak, you know, like you said, I had to validate, you know, I had to talk to myself that my self-worth is not within a material inanimate object. Mm-hmm. So I love that you say that. Like, it's just, I'm just feeling you, your energy. And like, it seems that you have done the work on yourself. And so I just appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. I've done a lot of work and it's been hard and it's been scary and it can be really scary to go back and look at the vulnerable, wounded parts of us. But that's where our real growth and transformation happens is having the courage to go back there and reparent yourself and like rework through that. And that's where you grow and heal. And, you know, it's important to have support when you do that.
Absolutely. It's important to have support.
Sure. And I know you connect with a lot of moms out there, so I want to ask you, what is the one thing that no one told you about motherhood that you wish you had known?
Oh, that's easy. I did hear it, but I didn't fully appreciate it. And it is that motherhood is so much fun. It is so much fun. Oh my God, I thought I was going to be so stressed and so resentful, you know, over the one-sidedness of, you know, being pregnancy and nursing. And it is so much fun and awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
For all you mamas out there who are pregnant and kind of anticipating that and worried about it, like, yeah, it's challenging, but like you grow and expand and become such a bigger container to like hold that love for your family, for your children. And it's incredible. It is so fun because now we get to like watch, you know, kind of cartoons or like listen to kid music and like go pick up leaves and be a kid again. And yeah. It's so rewarding for me on my like transformational healing journey too, to like reparent myself and like get to do those things I didn't get to do as a kid or haven't done for a really, really, really long time. It's incredibly healing for myself to do that with and through my daughter.
I so love that. So are we having more? I gotta ask.
I had a dream. I was pregnant last night. It's so funny you'd ask.
Well, your vision seemed to come to reality. So. I don't know. You may be onto something.
Let me tell you, there is magic over here in this household, okay? Definitely. I love being a mom. I can't wait to do it again. And now to have the wisdom I have this next pregnancy, I am going to enjoy it so much more, be so much more present and, you know, lean into my partner, ask for support, ask for where I need to be supported and helped rather than feel that I got to take on all this stuff by myself, right? And I think as women, from my personal experience, like not having my father a part of my life growing up, you know, my mom was the mom and the dad. And so growing up, I was always like, I need to be the masculine and the feminine. And where I realized in my relationship is that let's let our men be our men. Let's like build up our men. Let them be strong. Like let them be the providers and caretakers. But women can like make money too. It's not a competition, right? Like let's like love and build up our men rather than criticize them and break them down of all the things they don't do. Let's build them up. And I will not say I haven't always had that experience. That has been something that all my past relationships have taught me that I brought into this one where, you know, I have that wisdom now to like love my man and build him up and let me step into my feminine energy and come from that place.
I can say from experience, being in a relationship with my girl makes me feel like she's trying to build me up and she's my rock. I'll be loving that.
Yeah.
It's a team. It's a team right there.
It's definitely a team effort.
Yeah. And doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good to be recognized,
100%.
You know?
100%. Yes. 100 million, billion, gazillion percent. Crystal, we are so happy. I'm elated to just be able to talk to you. I don't know, like, what's next on the horizon for you? What are you manifesting? What do you need? What do you desire?
Well, baby number two.
Baby number two. We got baby number two.
What else?
Sometime. We got, but first, we got to get the, you know, we got to get that ring, even though you know where you at.
When it happens, you know, like my self-worth isn't based on it. Correct. So, you know, I'm just surrendering that up. I will say what's happening next is I have been doing so much transformational work on myself. And I really want to hold and cultivate a space for other women, especially to just feel supported and to share some of this journey that I've been on, the healing modalities that I have found and used to really work through a lot and gain that wisdom to really show up more fully in my life with more courage and to design the life I love. So I am launching my very own podcast. It's called Reign Over Your Life.
There you go.
And that'll be launching this month. And with that, I'm going to have just a community to support women in transformational work. And I just want to open a space to have deeper conversations where, you know, Instagram isn't really that space for me right now. And have people just know a deeper part of my heart that I haven't really shared before. And so it's taken me a couple of years to get to this point, to really own my voice and stand in my power. And I'm really excited to share that very soon.
Congratulations. And Mike, let the people know the name again.
It's called Reign Over Your Life.
There we go.
With your girl, Crystal Nielsen.
I was going to say, Mike, we get props for our podcast voices, but Crystal, you have a really good voice for podcasting. So I think you're going to do really well.
Thank you. You know what? It is this
like very soothing.
Niles got me.
There you go.
You know what, Brian? Thank you so much for saying that because, you know, on Bachelor, the big issue was my voice.
Well, weren't you like, wasn't something, did you have like a cold or something, or what was the case?
So this is kind of like a whole, I'll give you like the really short spiel, but I've been battling with vocal trauma for like a year and a half before I went on The Bachelor, where I just lost my voice. I went through a lot of family stuff and just lost my voice and for like a week and a half, and I kept losing it, and it just became really raspy, really scratchy, developed all these like nodes on my vocal cords. And I was also coaching at Orange Theory in like really harsh environments, so that definitely contributed to it. And I almost didn't go on The Bachelor because I was so embarrassed about my voice. And I was so scared, and I was like, I can't turn on this opportunity because I'm scared, like I just need to go. The whole thing became about my voice, and it was like, that was so hard. And while I was on the show, my vocal cords started healing because I wasn't coaching, I wasn't in that environment. And so when I came out, I was like, I can't really go back to coaching. And I became really afraid to share my voice because it was always an issue. Why does she sound different? Was she fake? What, you know, like there was so much around how I talk. So to now like use my voice to share my story, and it feels really good. So that means a lot that you shared that, because absolutely, it's taken a long time to get to this point.
Oh, I didn't know that at all, but I'm thank you for sharing that with us. So lastly, before we let you go, you've dropped a million, but we got to ask you a gem, you know. But even before that, Bachelor in Paradise is coming. I gotta know this one. You were on Bachelor in Paradise yourself. You got married on Bachelor in Paradise. What advice do you have for all those contestants down there?
Just have fun. Be yourself and have fun. And ask for more money.
Get your bread up, people.
You know heard your it here worth, first, girl. People. Know your worth.
You heard it here first, people. So I'm going to let that be the gym. That's the gym for the day. Get your money.
Get your money, man. It's rough out there in these streets. Get your money.
That's going to be the gym.
No she more
said,
needs to be
ask
said.
Ask for more money. She said, that's it.
I'm complete.
I love it. Crystal, thank you so much for being here today. And, you know, congrats to, you know, your family, your immediate family. Congrats to just designing the life that you desire, designing the life that you want. Congrats to your podcast that's coming.
Yes.
Thank
just
you.
Keep being you.
I'm excited for you. A lot of big things. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, it's been an absolute honor and a privilege to be here with you guys.
Appreciate you.
The privilege is all ours. Thank you.
Bye.
Brian, what were your thoughts?
Oh, man. I just get like a very zen, healing, positive energy vibe from Crystal. So I could tell why she's a successful health coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she's very positive, puts you in the right mindset. Completely. And, you know, she knows her thing. She knows her stuff about, you know, health and fitness. So, yeah, man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the conversation. It was great hearing a new mother talk about that experience and the relationship with the daughter and her man and, you know, just how they've navigated through tough times, like she said, through COVID, through a divorce, you know, being pregnant so early on in the relationship. It was, you know, very a lot of strength
she
coming
did
from
all
that one.
In 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even imagine, like, think about the emotional and mental stress, like, going through you during those times, like, uncertainty.
I don't know how to do a damn, I don't know how to edit my own TikTok in 6 months. Like, for her to do all that in 6 months is just flabbergasting to me. I'm happy for her. You know, I'm happy that she's happy. She kept a smile on the entire time. She did. I can't help but think about our fans, yo. Like, there were some things that she said. I was like, "Ooh, I can't say that." You know, it was a few different things. But I loved her poise. I loved her energy. It was magnetic. It was kismet. And like what she mentioned was what I literally said last week when it came to the energy. You know, you can't fake that, yo.
Can't
fake that whatsoever.
To everybody out there, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We love you all for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in to TIO and giving us all the support we could ever ask for. So we love you guys.
Definitely so. And like I always said, I absolutely adore when I get to see you guys out in the streets and y'all say, oh, I listen to your podcast. Keep that up. Definitely share it with your family, your friends, whether you disagree with us or you agree with us. That's the beauty of it all, because we love you no matter what. And we want to continue to hear your opinions, your stories, your insights. So don't forget to like, comment, follow. Message on social at TalkingOutBN on Instagram. And always, 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 don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And baby, don't DM me no more till you hit that subscribe. We love y'all.